to December 7th, 1941. Many will know what happened on that day. That's when Japanese launched a surprise attack on the American military base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. The attack took the lives of over 2,300 U.S. servicemen. Most of the fleet of aircraft were either damaged or destroyed. 8 battleships, 3 destroyers, and 3 cruisers were taken out of action. 2 battleships, the Oklahoma and the Arizona, were completely destroyed. The success of the attack was due in large part to the element of surprise. American forces weren't prepared for the attack. Many Christians have been attacked and defeated because Satan attacked them without them being prepared. It was a surprise attack by Satan. Every Christian, every single Christian is living on a battlefield and must always be prepared for an attack. Our text for this evening describes a battle in the life of King David. And in that event, there are several valuable lessons revealed to us about winning the battle and being prepared and not allowing Satan to surprise us with an attack. Our text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We will begin in verse 17 and go through verse 25. We'll read the whole thing to begin with and then note 3 or 4 lessons that are very appropriate for us. 2 Samuel 5, beginning in verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it, and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come up on them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba or Gibeon as far as Gezer. The first thing I want us to notice is the analogy between the Philistines' tactics and Satan's tactics. Notice what the Philistines did. The Philistines had been a constant enemy of God's people, Israel, for many years. They had attacked them. They had robbed them of peace and tranquility because they were constantly attacking them, coming at them from here and from there. So they could never enjoy peace. They could never feel that joy, that tranquility. Well, that's what Satan tries to rob us of. When we decide to submit to Christ as Lord and follow Him, there will be attacks. He's relentless, constant in His attacks. This is what we learn from 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter there reveals this about Satan and his attacks upon Christians. In verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says this, "Be sober. Be self-controlled. Be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now notice, Satan is walking about seeking the brotherhood to devour. He's not concerned about people who are outside the body of Christ. Not concerned about them at all. He's concerned about those who are Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who Satan is trying to devour. He's our adversary. He's not the world's adversary because he has the world. The world's on his side. He's trying to attack us, those in the body of Christ. So no wonder Peter says, no, because Satan's your adversary, he's going to attack you. Therefore, be sober, you know, be on the lookout, be watchful, be self-controlled, because he's going to attack you when you least suspect it. So note the timing of the enemy's attacks. Now, 7 years earlier, David had been appointed king of Judah. And so for these 7 years, he's been king of Judah, but not king of Israel, the northern, we might say, the northern part of the country. Now he's been anointed king over all, over the entire nation. What happens? Well, up to this point, Judah had been filled with lots of battles. There had been a lot of discouragement. But now that he's been appointed king of all, that's when the Philistines launch their surprise attack. Why? Because they think the whole nation will be caught off guard. David's just been appointed king over the entire nation. Things look like they're going to be really good. There's going to be peace. And that's when the Philistines attack. When God's people least suspected it. That's what Satan does. That's what Satan does to us. He likes to attack us when we least expect it. That's why constant vigilance is called for. Remember Christ's words in the garden to his close disciples in Matthew chapter 26? He tells them in verse 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Constant vigilance. Watch and pray. Pray and watch. Satan is going to attack us. We know that. We just don't know when. That's why we must always be watchful. We must always be diligent. We must always be ready for his attack. We don't know what direction it's going to come from. Yes, we know he's going to attack, but we don't know how he's going to attack, nor do we know when he's going to attack. Therefore, we must be vigilant. David needed to be. Well, the Philistines were very determined to defeat David and Israel. Notice what it says in verse 17. All the Philistines went up to search for David. You see that little three-letter word? All of them did. They would stop at nothing to defeat David. They gathered all of their forces, their whole army, because they wanted to defeat David once and for all, get him out of the way. A great lesson there. Satan knows he's been defeated by Christ. Satan knows that now. If we were able to talk to Satan face to face, he knows he's been defeated. He was defeated when Christ rose from the dead. He thought he had won, the Bible says. He thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross. Satan's not all-knowing. But he knows he's been defeated now. And so he wants to take as many as possible to hell with him. That's his job now. That's what he wants to do. He wants to fill hell up. In John chapter 12, listen to these words of verse 31. John chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Satan is going to be defeated. He's going to be defeated. And that was Jesus, of course, talking before his death, burial, and resurrection. John says in Revelation chapter 12, describes it in these words, beginning in verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them for our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.'" Satan knows he's going to be cast into hell. That's his home. But he wants to take as many people as possible with him. He wants hell to be full. So that's his job now, to attack, to surprise. One other tactic and strategy that the Philistines used, the Philistines spread themselves out in the valley. It said, you know, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and it says the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. They deployed themselves. Some have words like they spread themselves out. In other words, they wanted to put themselves in a position to cause fear in the heart of the Israelites. All the Philistines went up, they gathered in the valley, they deployed themselves so that the Israelites would be afraid. They would be afraid. Want to intimidate the Israelites, strike fear into their hearts. Satan wants us to take our eyes off of Jesus, because he knows if we take our eyes off Jesus, we're going to be afraid. Isn't that what happened to Peter? Remember when Jesus, you know, the apostles were in the ship on the water. Jesus comes walking to them across the water. They first think he's a ghost, a spirit. Then Jesus tells them who he is, and then Peter says, "Well, can I walk on the water?" and so forth. So he gets out and starts walking on the water, and as long as he's looking at Jesus, he's fine. But the text says he took his eyes off of Jesus, and then he started noticing the wind, the waves, the water, and what happened? Started to sink. See, that's what Satan wants us to do, is take our eyes off Jesus and become afraid. To look at all the other things instead of looking at Jesus. That's what he wants. That's one of his tactics. That's one of his strategies. So, how did David use strategies to defeat the Philistines? Beginning in verse 19, it says, "So David inquired of the Lord." Now David, you know, he had been crowned king, but he didn't enjoy that very long before the Philistines came. David didn't go looking for trouble. He didn't go looking for the Philistines, but what happened? The Philistines found him. Trouble found him. And when we look at what David did to the Philistines' attacks, we can see how we need to respond to Satan's attacks. So the first thing he did was he inquired of the Lord. He prayed for guidance. That was the first thing he did. He prayed for guidance. He prayed for knowledge. He sought the Lord. Of course, this was a common strategy for David. David did this often. When things would happen, the first thing he would do was inquire of the Lord. Go to God in prayer. That's what David did over and over and over again. That was one of the reasons he was so successful in so many of his battles. That needs to be our first response. When Satan attacks us, when the enemy attacks us, We need to do the same thing. You know, God knows the battles that we face. You know, sometimes we think we're all alone. I think that sometimes, you know, that I'm all alone. But God knows every battle I face every day. He knows every battle you face every day. He knows every single one of them. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. So we need to seek Him for truth, for help. The Bible says, go to God, go to Jehovah for truth, for help. Psalms 25:5. Seek the Lord for truth. Earlier, the Israelites had been deceived by the men of Gibeon because they had not sought the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 9, we see this happening. Verses 14 and 15 of that chapter, we read, "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions," talking about the men of Gibeon, "but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them." And then they found out what? They had been deceived. That these men of Gibeon weren't from far off. That's what they had told Joshua. That's what they had told them. But they weren't. They were right there in their midst. They had made this covenant with them. And now they couldn't back out of it. They had been deceived because they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. So we must do that first. What did he do next? He obeyed the Lord. He believed and trusted in God, and he immediately followed God's instruction. He didn't question what God told him to do. God said, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." This is an expression like a dam bursting. The dam bursting and the water breaks through. This is not the only place that expression is used in the Old Testament. But that's what happened. God said, "David, do this." David did that. And what God promised happened. But obedience is essential. Obedience is essential. We live in a time when so many in the religious world say obedience is not essential. But Hebrews 5 verse 9 is still in my Bible. I'm sure it's still in yours too. Because it says, "Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him." Obedience is absolutely essential. So our faith cannot be just one that's a mental acceptance of who Jesus is and what He did. It must be one that is seen in obedience. And so they took the idols, it says, and David and his men carried them away. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 that talks about this same event also includes that they took the idols and burned them. Burned the idols. Why did they do that? Because that was a command in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5, part of the law of Moses said they needed to do this. Deuteronomy 7, verse 5 says, "But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire." Deuteronomy 7, verse 5. It's also repeated in verse 25. This is what they were told to do by the law of Moses. So David obeyed the law of Moses. He obeyed God's law. And that's essential. The third thing David did, the third strategy, tactic that David used, was he depended upon the Lord for victory. For victory. Notice in verse 22, "Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, 'You shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees.' God told David to change battle plans. David might have assumed, well, it's the same people, it's the Philistines, they're in the same location, so God wants me to do exactly the same thing. But that wasn't the case. The first time, God told David, assault them from the front. This time, he says, don't do that. Come from behind and attack them. And David did exactly what Jehovah told him to do. The Philistines had been beaten by a frontal attack the first time, but now God changes the tactics. And we have to realize that God is not going to tempt us beyond what we're able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So we have to depend upon what He said, trust in what He has said. And whatever He has said, then that's what we must do. Even though it may not make sense to us, it may not be what we think is the best way, but whatever God says is the very best. And then the third thing we see is God's provisions for the faithful. God provides victory when David follows God's lead. He leads him to a group of mulberry, or some translations have balsam trees. He's told to wait for the sound of a going, marching in the tops of the trees. This may have been done to scare the Philistines. If you can imagine the Philistines, you know, they're gathered in the valley, and then they start hearing this noise that sounds like huge numbers of people marching. But it's actually God just moving the trees. So God is providing the victory for the Israelites. It's God who's providing it. The Lord's presence was going to be with David and go before him. He says, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. It was God who was going to do it. He was going to provide. It's a wonderful blessing to know we don't have to fight our battles alone. God is going to be with us. The Bible says that not even Satan has the power to separate us from God. He doesn't have that kind of power. In Romans chapter 8, this is a lengthy reading, but I think very appropriate. In Romans chapter 8, Paul reveals to the Christians in Rome the following, beginning in verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul writes, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. See, Satan can't even do that. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It's rhetorical. None of those things can. They won't. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of those things can do that. They don't have the power. They don't have the power. God has given us strategies to defeat Satan. The Bible even says, resist Satan and he'll flee from you. Satan wants us to give in easily. Satan wants to win the victory easily. And he's going to use all these tactics, these strategies to try to defeat us. But God has given us strategies to defeat Satan, such as watch and pray, be vigilant, trust and obey, all of those. God has promised to be with us, but who are the us? The us are those in the body of Christ. Christians, disciples of our Lord, those who have had their sins cleansed, washed away, they've been purified, they've been made whole. They've repented and been baptized. Those are the ones he promises to be with and be with always. Tonight, as this invitation song is led, let us consider the words of the song. And if there's a need in our heart to respond, let us do so as we stand and sing this song.